and hath promised them his Holy Spirit. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Grant this, Lord, unto us all. O Lord, I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. I will sing unto the Lord because he hath dealt bountifully with me. How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? Welcome to church today. It's good to have you all together on Zoom. And it's good to have Matthew here doing his thing, and Stephanie and Mary Ellen to see if we can bring this all. Anyway, I will be communicating with you this week about next Sunday's service. We are planning to start up with our regular in-church services. We will continue to offer Zoom services, but we are planning, and I will confirm this with you during the week, to have a regular service here next Sunday and Bible class next Sunday morning at 9:15 a.m. But we will confirm that later in the week. So, since you can't tell me any announcements that you think need to be made, we will go directly to the reading and hearing of God's Word. The lesson is written in Jeremiah chapter 9. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. Here endeth the lesson. The epistle for the first Sunday after Trinity is written in 1 John chapter 4. St. John writes, and we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God, love his brother also. Here endeth the epistle. I said, Lord, be merciful unto me. Heal my soul, for I have sinned against thee. Blessed is he that considereth the poor. The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 16th chapter, beginning at the 19th verse. Jesus said, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and he said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivedst thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, betwixt us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldst send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. This is the gospel of the Lord. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Grant us, dear Lord, that thou sayest, and your people,
Consider for a few minutes the regular office of the Word of God in His church, because that is really what the story of the rich man and Lazarus is all about. It is about those who gladly hear and learn the word which they hold sacred, and they will let no adversity, no trouble derail them from their hope in the Lord. Such people are represented by Lazarus. Lazarus had many reasons in the flesh to despair. His life was a mess. He was dumped off at the rich man's gate, and he was full of sores. Dogs came and licked his wounds, and all he desired was to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. And yet, true to his name, Lazarus, which means he whom God helps, Lazarus would not be shaken from his faith in God, in the Word of God, and his hope of eternal salvation in the truth of the Lord. On the other hand, we see the rich man, who was undoubtedly a pillar in his community. He may even have been a seriously well-respected religious leader. We don't know. But he fared sumptuously every day, and he was dressed in the finest of clothing. Now, it came to pass that the beggar died, Lazarus died, and he was carried by the angels into the bosom of Abraham, which means that he was given a seat of honor at the heavenly table in fellowship with all those who died in the true faith. Lazarus, his sufferings, his pains, his tears, and his waiting are all things in the past. And now he is in paradise, and he is at rest and at peace in the presence of God and in fellowship with those who died in the faith of God from the time of Abraham, even before Abraham, all the way through to the present time. So Lazarus is saved. And the glory that Lazarus now had in the text was something so great that all of the sufferings of this present life are not worthy to be compared with. So Lazarus didn't have to go through a period of time of decompression as he kind of overcame the traumatic stress syndrome of life in this world. No, he went from the weeping and the sorrow and the suffering, the veil of tears, immediately into the paradise of God, where there is fullness of joy. But that's not the last word, because the paradise where the soul of Lazarus rested in the bosom of Abraham is a glorious but temporary residence, as he, with all the faithful, await the last day, the parousia, the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, the resurrection of our bodies, and the inauguration of the new heaven and the new earth. So paradise is a wonderful thing, but it is a foretaste of the glory to be revealed when the kingdom of glory is fully revealed at the resurrection of the dead at the end of the world. So Lazarus is safe in paradise with all the faithful. The rich man died, and he was buried, and he probably had a banger of a funeral. They were probably talking about his funeral for months and months afterward. It was probably magnificent. And his tomb was probably a magnificent, specially prepared for just this occasion, spotless and gleaming white. But the rich man opened up his eyes in hell. And in hell, now, you know, a lot of people like to imagine that Jesus was not really about hell. But it's interesting to note that when you read the Bible, Jesus warns about the sufferings and torments of hell more than anybody else in the whole Bible. And here in this story, he says that in hell, the rich man opened his eyes being in torments. So he is being tormented in hell. And not only that, he is fully aware of what he, by his own fault, has missed out on. He lifted up his eyes and he sees Abraham and Lazarus afar off. But because those who are in hell never repent of their sin, they ever remain in the impenitence and unbelief in which they died. He still thinks of Lazarus as a flunky to be used for his purposes. And so he cries out to Father Abraham and he says, "Send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame." It's not bad enough that he is tormented in the flames of hell, but he wants Lazarus to endure the flames of hell just to give him a drop of water to cool his tongue. All right? So these are not the words of a penitent believer, someone who is sorry for their sins. But Abraham said, "Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, and Lazarus likewise evil things. Now he is comforted and you are tormented." So essentially what Abraham says is no, right? No. And he says, besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that those who would go there from here can't, and those who could come from there to here can't. There's no way that it can happen. Then he said, "All right, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that you would send him to my father's house." And here's where the point of the parable really begins to come into the clear light of day. He says, "Send him to my father's house, because I have five brothers, that he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment." He says, "Send Lazarus to my brothers so he can scare the hell out of them." That's what he wants, right? That if a ghost from the dead appears to them and scares them straight, then they won't end up coming here. So he wants a little witchcraft. A little occultism, right? And Abraham says, and here is the message of the Lord for all of us to consider, all right? "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them." What Abraham says is, they have the Holy Scriptures and they have the regular public preaching and teaching of the Holy Scriptures, of the Bible truth. They have the Word of God regularly ministered publicly for them to hear and to benefit from, right? This is what got Lazarus into heaven. Lazarus had every earthly disadvantage, but he had the Word of God. He held God's Word sacred, and he gladly heard it and learned it. And therefore, he was faith-filled, and his hope was immovably fixed upon the help of the Lord. And the help finally came as he was carried by the angels into the bosom of Abraham, just as the Word of God teaches. Now the Word of God was powerful enough and able enough, even though it was preached by fallible human beings, it was powerful enough to save the soul of a man who had every reason to be in despair rather than in hope. And so if the Word of God could save Lazarus, it is capable of saving anyone. All right, the Word of God is quick, living, and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So God's Word is the power of God unto salvation for all that believe. And therefore, Abraham says to the rich man, they have the Holy Scriptures. They have the regular public ministry of the Word of God. Let them attend to that. Go to church. Let them go to church and hear the Word of God. Now listen to what the rich man says, and you understand in a moment why he is in hell. He says, nay, Father Abraham, not that. Oh, and oh no, not another sermon. Oh, I gotta go to church, sit through another one of those long sermons. And what does it all mean anyway? Who knows if any of it's true? And that guy annoys me. He's got those vocal tics. He has those little ways of talking that just irritate me. Nay, Father Abraham, not that, not going to church, not hearing the Word of God. Nay, Father Abraham, but if somebody went to them from the dead, they will repent. Ooh, if somebody scares them straight, then they'll repent. Something really stupendous and interesting and fascinating happens, they will repent. And Abraham dismisses him with a word, and it's a word that points to Christ. He says, if they will not hear Moses and the prophets, if they will not listen to the regular preaching teaching, reading, and studying of God's word. Neither will they be persuaded, even though someone rose from the dead. Jesus here in the parable is referring to his own resurrection from the dead. And he says that those who did not believe the word of God, the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes, they gave the word of God lip service, but they did not believe it, because if they believed Moses, they would have believed in Jesus Christ. The fact that they didn't believe in Jesus shows they didn't really believe Moses and Isaiah and David, even though they paid great lip service to them. Right? He says, if they will not hear the word of God, the Holy Scriptures, if they will not listen to that, they will not be persuaded, even if someone rises from the dead. Now, Jesus rose from the dead, and his resurrection from the dead is God's exclamation point, God's stamp of approval on every word that Jesus ever spoke, every claim about himself that Jesus ever made, and every promise that Jesus ever gave. Everything is the God-honest truth. And the resurrection is God the Father's stamp of approval, so that when you hear that Jesus is risen from the dead, the only response is, then he is the Son of God, just like he said he was. Then he is the Redeemer of the world, and my sins are forgiven. I have everlasting life, and God loves me and accepts me for Christ's sake. And when I pray, he hears me, and Jesus has prepared a place for me in the mansions of glory. All of it is true because Jesus rose again from the dead. But you see, those who will not listen to the regular ministration of God's word, the Holy Scriptures, they will not be persuaded, though one rose again from the dead. So, Lazarus did not go to heaven as compensation for his tough life. He had a tough life, and he was definitely rewarded for his patience. But he was saved because his hope was in the word of God, which cannot fail. The rich man, even though he was highly regarded by all of his neighbors, although he was probably a pillar in his community, he died and he went to hell. Not because he was rich, not because he was extravagant, but because he despised the regular preaching and teaching of God's word, the Holy Scriptures. He despised the word of God and would not receive it, would not let it change him. And so he remained in his sins. And though his funeral was magnificent, when he opened up his eyes, he was in hell and he was tormented in the flames. But we let him go and we focus on Lazarus, he whom God helps. May we also be Lazaruses, he whom God helps, she whom God helps. Let us be those who, despite the troubles, tribulations, and sufferings of this life, we cling to the word of God and will let nothing come between us and the hearing and believing and trusting in the word of the living God in Christ. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts
and your minds through Christ Jesus.
Bring me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy
Let us pray. Lord God, King Eternal, of whom, through whom, and in whom are all things, who upholds all things by the word of your power, we thank you for the multitude of your mercies so graciously showered upon us. Grant us to be ever mindful of your gifts, your love, and your kindness. We thank and praise you for all of the temporal blessings of this life, which we enjoy every day. Make us thankful for all the bounty of your goodness. Above all, we thank you for your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, whom you sent for our salvation. He has won for us the forgiveness of sins, deliverance from the dominion of death and the devil, and the promise of everlasting life. Grant that by your Holy Spirit, we may love you with all our heart, soul, and might. Grant us a love for your holy word, the Bible. Give us to always set you before us and walk in obedience. Strengthen us that we may overcome in adversity and win the victory of faith. Help your church that it may turn from all man-made substitutes that ape the truth, and that it may proclaim the truth of the Bible plainly and purely. Keep and strengthen our congregation and grant us to be faithful unto death. Grant peace and well-being to all the nations of the world. Bless in particular the United States of America. And grant wisdom and courage to our leaders that they may uphold and do what is right and punish wickedness and evil. Deliver us from both civil discord and from the pandemic that continues to afflict us. Bless our homes and our families. Heal the sick. Soothe the sorrowful. Comfort the lonely. Grant us all a blessed death. And take us from this veil of tears to yourself in heaven. Hear and answer these our petitions in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Blessed Lord, who has caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant that we may in such wise hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort of thy holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which thou hast given us in our Savior Jesus Christ, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Thank you.